Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. What are some ways to make life less frustrating? Join us today as we talk about some innovative designs. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. It is great to have you with us. My name is Campbell. And today in the studio, I have my good friend Rebecca with me. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Campbell. It's great to be here.
All right. Well, today we're talking about everyday adjustments. We're talking about ways that people are coming up with to make life easier for individuals. And we're talking about oftentimes people with various struggles or health issues that maybe limit their mobility, limit their ability to move or live a regular life. And sometimes that can be frustrating. Have you ever had to deal with maybe ailing relatives or people with limited mobility?
Sure. Maybe I'll use myself as an example. I've hurt my back 2 times. Mm. And the 2 times I hurt my back, it was really hard to get off the bed in the morning because I hurt my back quite badly. Mm. So it was really, really hard to get off the bed.
Right.
Another thing that is really hard for people with back problems is getting into a car.
Yes.
And getting into a car when you just recently hurt your back is also really, really frustrating.
Mm.
So in my case, in both cases, it did get better with time. But the whole time I was reading this article, I was feeling, I could feel empathy for the people in this article.
Yeah.
Because if you have ever hurt your back, or if you have relatives who've hurt themselves, or they have limited mobility,
right,
everything that this article is saying makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's not just maybe people with disabilities or people who are sick. Everyday people, like you said, you know, sometimes we injure ourselves in
yes.
various capacities, you know, whether it's through exercise or, you know, we are accident prone, we might hurt ourselves accidentally, and that can limit our ability to do certain things. And we're always looking for easier ways to
yes.
get things done.
Yes.
Right. My daughter, she has cerebral palsy, so she also has limited sometimes movement in her body. So we're always thinking of ways to make life easier for her as well, you know. So, you know, I appreciate that there are creative individuals out there who are looking for and creating creative solutions to make life easier for people. All right, so let's take a look at our article for today. So let's join us on the top of the page, and we'll start with the title for today's lesson, Everyday Adjustments.
Everyday Adjustments. Designers look for creative ways to make daily life less frustrating. I have spent countless hours in homes, healthcare settings, and community spaces watching how people navigate the rhythms of everyday life. What stays with me are the quiet adjustments, or life hacks. A bed lifted on risers to slide a storage bin of medical supplies underneath to stay within reach or to better facilitate a transfer. A bottom dresser drawer left empty because it is out of reach and there's concern it could lead to a fall. A nightstand pulled a few inches away to make space for a CPAP hose or oxygen tubing. These aren't rare exceptions. They're everyday adjustments to the built environment that hadn't previously caught up with real-life wants and needs. In response to these observations, we design products to fill the gaps, from medical aids like canes and bath safety products to household furniture that directly addresses these needs. Integrating novel functional enhancements into the product design helps create environments that work better for people. Responding to one definition of disability, a mismatch between a person's abilities and their environment, we strive to ensure that built environments are accessible, functional, and welcoming for as many people as possible.
All right, so imagine this. You bought your dream house, and you moved in with your family, and it's perfect. Then all of a sudden, you have a terrible accident, and you become immobilized in certain ways. Now, the house that was your dream isn't so much fitted for your new life and your new struggles. What can you do? All right, so this actually happened to one of my best friends from junior high. He was a healthy 40-something year old, and one day he was playing in the park and had a terrible accident that left him paralyzed.
Oh.
And he has a wife and two sons, you know, and they had bought their dream house. It was a two-floor, you know, and now he's in a wheelchair. So they had to make all sorts of adjustments to make his house more accessible.
Yes.
Right? So they had to install wheelchair lifts and all these things. And this is what happens to a lot of people. Maybe not to such an extreme, but various people as we age, as we all do, you know, we start to need more equipment, or we're not as flexible as we used to be, right? And so we have to adjust. And thankfully, there's a group of designers. Thankfully, there's a group of designers looking for creative ways to make daily life less frustrating. So what do you think this means, making life less frustrating, Rebecca?
Well, we have to make adjustments. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that is the common theme that we've been talking about. We have to adapt as the situation changes. And then we have to figure out what shortcuts can we take to make our life easier.
Right.
And wonderful word that we have right in the beginning of this article is the word life hacks, right in the first paragraph, in the second sentence. What stays with me are the quiet adjustments or life hacks.
Right.
And we were talking off air right before the program, what is a life hack? How do we define a life hack? And I think a life hack is basically something that will save you time or make life less frustrating.
Yes.
That is a life hack.
Yes.
And I think in your friend's situation, that is a huge change, like from being completely mobile and healthy to needing to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
That's a really, really big change.
Yes.
And there has to be huge adjustments done to his dream house to make that house work for him.
Mm-hmm.
But to a lesser extent, all of us have to make adjustments as we go through different seasons of life.
Sure.
And it's not always disability, too.
Yes.
Sometimes it could be you have a new baby.
Right.
And then if you have a new baby, I'm sure many of our listeners who have children, when you first had children, you had to make changes to your house.
Yes.
Because you don't want your little baby like touching the electric socket.
Exactly.
Or, you know, having sharp edges on your table and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So I think we're just talking about how do we make adjustments when our situation changes in some way.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I mean, life hacks doesn't necessarily have to do with these huge adjustments either, though. Life hacks can be just ways of doing things that make life a little bit easier, right? I think one example that I think of that I learned recently was we all have fitted sheets on our mattresses, right? Those are the sheets that have the elastic around the edges.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'm always struggling trying to figure out which direction the sheet goes on. Have you ever struggled with that?
Yeah. Which side? Which one is the long side or the, what do you call the long side?
The short side. Yeah.
Always trying to figure out, because a lot of the sheets, they almost feel like they're a square.
Yeah. But beds are more rectangular, right? So you have a long end and a short end, and which way do you put the sheets on? So one life hack that I learned recently is all of the fitted sheets have a tag on the inside. So what you need to do is find that tag and line it up with the bottom right corner of the bed. So if you line it up with the bottom right corner of the bed and then you put the sheets on, then you'll put it on perfectly every time.
That is a great tip. Now I'm going to use that next time I try to put my fitted sheets on the bed.
So it's little things like that, right, that make life a little bit easier and, you know, things that should feel like common knowledge, but not quite.
Yes.
Right? So life hacks and quiet adjustments, right? And we have a few examples of these life hacks or quiet adjustments that various people have done in their homes and healthcare settings. Can you share some of them with us, Rebecca?
Okay, the first one is a bed lifted on risers.
Mm.
Why do you need to lift up the bed? It's because we want more place to store things.
Right.
And here, this could be someone who is not so mobile because they want to slide a storage bin of medical supplies underneath the bed.
Right.
So the bed is lifted up and then we put a bin or basically a box of medical items that you need to store underneath the bed.
Yeah.
And if you've had elderly relatives or relatives who are sick and you've had to have one of those beds in your home, like the kind of like the hospital style bed that you can go up and down. It is very useful if you could store something underneath that bed.
Yeah, because a lot of times when you're taking care of these maybe bedridden people or elderly people or sick people, they need a lot of medicine or bandages or other medical supplies, and you don't want to have to always go to the kitchen or the living room to get it. You want to have it close by. But a lot of times when beds are closer to the ground, there's not as much storage underneath, right? So people use cinder blocks or various things to rise or to lift up the bed so there's more room underneath. All right. And then also to better facilitate a transfer. So we're talking here sometimes when people are bedridden, they're maybe not as physically able to move. They might need help getting in and out of bed.
Yes.
And if the bed is too low, you know, I think of when I've had to help my grandparents, right? And the bed is too low, it's hard on the back of the person
really
who's helping.
Yes.
Right? So you want to lift up the bed a little bit higher so you don't have to bend as far down to help them get up.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking about, or better facilitate a transfer. Okay? What's the next one, Rebecca?
Well, and then we have a bottom dresser drawer that's left empty. And a dresser is basically like a storage unit.
Yes.
But usually that's in our rooms, our bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in our dresser, we could put what do we put on a dresser? We could put clothing.
Yeah.
I mean, we could just put personal items.
Right.
And then here we leave the bottom drawer empty. And why do we leave the bottom drawer empty? This is also related to mobility, because perhaps the older person or someone who's not as mobile cannot reach for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they try to reach for it, they will fall. And when I'm just reading this, I just want to tell everyone, when you're young, start doing squats.
Yes.
If you're in middle age, please make sure you do squats. Do a lot of squats.
Right.
Because that's exactly what some exercises try to help us.
Right.
Help us be able to bend better.
Yeah.
So that you can actually reach that bottom dresser drawer.
Right.
But if you can't, it's probably a good idea to leave it empty so you don't fall.
Correct. Yeah. And then a nightstand pulled a few inches away to make space for a CPAP hose or oxygen tubing. And we have the definition of a CPAP. It's continuous positive airway pressure. Just basically, it's equipment to help someone breathe better. And it's usually space consuming. So they need to make room for it by moving the nightstand a few inches away. Right. So these things are not major, huge adjustments. They're quiet adjustments and life hacks. Right. And the thing is, they're not rare exceptions, are they?
No, they aren't that rare, because the truth is all of us make adjustments to the place that we are in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now we're just using examples, like more kind of bigger examples, because when you have like this kind of huge life change, like now you have a family member who's not mobile, then you make bigger changes.
Yeah.
But all of us actually adjust things every single day.
Yeah. So they're not rare exceptions. They're everyday adjustments to the built environment, meaning this place was maybe not designed with these people's needs in mind at the beginning. And so that's why it says this built environment hasn't previously caught up with real life wants and needs, right? So in response to these observations, what does this company do?
Well, they're designing products to fill the gaps. So basically, the gap is between the person's need and the environment. That's the gap. Mm. So they're trying to make products that they believe people will need because of things like not being so mobile or having very sick family members. You need to have products that work for you.
Yeah. So they're designing medical aids like canes and bath safety products, right? That's something that a lot of people are thinking about. You know, if you're not able to move as fluidly and mobility is limited, you know, taking a bath can be dangerous. So bath safety to household furniture that directly addresses these needs, right? So we're talking about like the bed that maybe can move on its own rather than us needing to physically move it. Integrating novel functional enhancements. Novel just meaning something new, something maybe not previously thought of. And functional enhancements meaning that they are actually practical. They actually help and do things in a way that is beneficial, okay? And it helps to create environments that work better for people. All right, and here we have a definition of disability. Can you read that for us?
The mismatch, so something that is mismatching just means two things or people that do not work well together. Mm. They're not suitable. So it's a mismatch between a person's abilities and their environment. This is actually a really good definition.
Mm-hmm.
So if we use this definition of disability, a lot of people have some kind of disability.
Yeah, I feel like we all do in some ways.
We all do in some way.
Yeah.
So basically, you and the environment, they're just something that is not compatible. It doesn't work well together, so we need to fix it. We either fix you or we fix the environment.
Yes, yeah. And it says, we strive to ensure that built environments, meaning places that are already established, places that have already been built, are accessible, functional, and welcoming for as many people as possible, right? And this word accessible is something we often talk about when we're talking about people with disabilities.
Yes. So accessible just means that they have to be able to use this thing or right. They have to be able to go somewhere. Like, for example, like a wheelchair ramp,
mm-hmm.
right? Nowadays, having a ramp for wheelchairs getting on and off the bus is very common.
Yes.
You know, like every single bus in our city has it.
Right.
But in the past, that wasn't common.
Yeah.
So if you had a wheelchair, there is no way you can get up the bus unless someone lifted up your wheelchair and got you on the bus.
Yes. Yeah, so making things more accessible, meaning that they can reach it, they can use it, they can get in the door. Functional and welcoming for as many people as possible because people are diverse. We all have different needs and different struggles, and we want to make sure that these environments are as friendly and accessible to as many people as possible. All right, let's continue with the rest of this article, and then we'll be back to discuss.
Solving shared problems. In design and in business, we're often taught to prioritize the average user. But the most meaningful, enduring innovations tend to come from the edges, designing with people who experience the world differently, whether through disability, age, or temporary limitation. What begins as a targeted accommodation often becomes something far more universal. Take, for instance, a bed designed with integrated armrests to support safer mobility. It may have been crafted with accessibility in mind, but it ultimately benefits anyone recovering from surgery, dealing with aches and pains, or simply trying to get up more easily in the morning, or reposing in bed to comfortably watch TV. The same goes for a nightstand designed with discrete space for powering medical equipment. It meets a real need, while also improving daily use for people managing cords, devices, or the clutter of modern life.
All right, so we're talking here about solving shared problems. And the first sentence says, in design and in business, we're often taught to prioritize the average user, meaning you want to make the product something that appeals to as many people as possible.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Because we want to sell our product to as many people
money.
As possible.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Advance. Like, with our Advanced magazine, we have many different people, right? And everyone has different needs. But we hope that this magazine can help as many people as possible. So usually when we're designing things, we're thinking of the average user.
Right. Yeah. And I'll take my words back. It's not always about money. Sometimes it is about just wanting to help as many people as possible.
True.
Yeah. But the thing is, what they're finding is the most meaningful, enduring innovations, meaning new creations, tend to come from the edges. What are we referring to by the edges here?
This is interesting. I really like the word edge. Here we're talking about another word maybe we can put here is the outliers.
Mm.
That means like not the average user,
right.
Like the extreme users,
right.
Like the on either side. Because like usually we have a lot of people, maybe like 60 or 70% of the people, they're in the middle.
Right.
Their needs are kind of similar. And then we have those people on the edge or we could just say the outliers. They're not average. They're on the extreme left or extreme right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to design with them in mind.
Yeah. So they design for people who experience the world differently.
Yes.
Yeah. And I like the word average, right? So as I mentioned, my daughter has cerebral palsy. And one word that gets me all the time is when people say, oh, she's different from normal.
Yeah,
kids.
But what's normal?
Exactly. What's normal, right? Everybody's normal is different. So I appreciate that they use the word average here. She's not average, and most
right.
people aren't average, right?
Right.
And so they're designing these products and innovations for these people who experience the world differently. And that can be either through disability, meaning they're limited in their mobility, maybe they're blind, they can't hear, various struggles, okay? Maybe it's age, as we've talked about, you know, someone who is elderly and they're not able to move as easily as they used to, or temporary limitation, kind of like what you were saying, Rebecca, when you hurt your back.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And this next sentence is interesting. It says, what begins as a targeted accommodation often becomes something far more universal. Can you explain this sentence to us?
Yeah. When we talk about targeted accommodation, it means that we are trying to help this kind of person,
right.
Like the people on the edge. We think that we are designing something to help the people on the edge. But after you actually design that thing, it not only helps the people on the edge, it becomes something more universal. Universal just means it applies to all peoples, or it applies to most people.
Yeah, you originally designed with these people in mind, but it actually ended up helping
everybody.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, for example, we're talking about that bottom dresser that's hard to reach.
Yeah.
So initially, maybe you design a new dresser that's not that hard to reach, and you think, oh, this will be good for, you know, people with mobility problems, but it actually works for everybody.
Yeah. And here we have an example of a bed designed with an integrated armrest to support safer mobility. I feel like that's something that maybe would have helped you when you hurt your back.
Yeah, for sure, to get off the bed.
Yeah. And also, it talks about a nightstand designed with discrete space for powering medical equipment. You know, I never thought about that before. You know, now we all have these bedside stands with
yes.
charging ports and things like that. And maybe that came from trying to satisfy the need of someone who needed to plug in medical equipment.
It could be. So then basically, what was supposed to be just for a small group of people now is actually beneficial to everybody.
Yeah. I like the sentence here. It says, it meets a real need while also improving daily use for people managing cords, devices, or the clutter of modern day life. Do you keep a lot of things by your bedside?
Yeah, I do, actually. I really need to declutter. I mean, it's just too many things in a messy way, just all around the bed. Yes, I need to declutter. I need to do this in my next vacation.
So we can see here a very clear example of how it was originally designed to help people who maybe needed to plug in some machines, but ended up being something that could be beneficial for people of all ages and stations in life. All right. So this has been a very interesting article. We have a lot more to talk about. So make sure you come back and join us tomorrow for day two of this article. Until then, this is Campbell.
Rebecca.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.